How can you spot a counterfeit? In the world of finances, experts are trained to detect fake money by studying the real thing. The same principle applies to spiritual truth. In today's episode, you'll learn how to detect false teaching and discover the mark of a genuine Christian. It's not just what you believe about Jesus, but how you show love to others that sets you apart. Stay tuned to learn how to grow in both discernment and love.
I've mentioned in the past that there are people in the financial world who receive special training in detecting counterfeit currency, and much of the training involves handling genuine currency in order to more quickly detect the counterfeit. One individual told me personally this training included a session when the lights were turned out and the trainees handled money in complete darkness, learning to detect counterfeit money simply by its texture. Well, detecting and avoiding counterfeit teachers happens to be a major concern throughout John the Apostle's first letter. And as we sail back today into 1 John chapter 4, he's going to raise this issue again. He writes here in verse 1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world." Now, the word for test here was commonly used in John's generation for testing the genuineness of currency, of coins. There was evidently counterfeit money in the first century, probably in every century for that matter. There are certainly counterfeit teachers in every generation as well. When you were in school, you listened to your teachers, and then they gave you tests to take, right? Well, John says here, oh, no, don't do it that way. You test the teacher first and then listen to him. Put your teacher to the test. In fact, John even gives us the test question to ask them here in verse 2. "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God." In other words, what is that Bible teacher, that prophet, so-called prophet, that so-called spiritual guide, what do they say about Jesus? And John effectively says here, be really specific. Do they confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh from God? Well, let's break that down. Christ, Christos, that means the anointed one. That was for the anointed Messiah coming from heaven, the one who was literally dispatched by God the Father to come in the flesh. Now, what this means is that his existence did not begin at Bethlehem. Bethlehem was simply where he first appeared in human flesh. He existed from eternity past, but was miraculously, invisibly conceived in a virgin by the overshadowing presence of the Holy Spirit. And with that, he joined the human race. Now, at a point in time, at Bethlehem, he was born in the flesh. But prior to that, he was and ever will be the eternal second member of the Godhead. And by the way, this loaded phrase here from John provides the critical defense against Gnosticism, liberalism, Judaism, Mormonism, Islam, frankly, every other religious system that does not confess that Jesus Christ is eternally pre-existent deity, one of the three persons of the Trinity, and yet also, at a point in time, fully human. Well, let me tell you, John doesn't let false teachers off the hook, you know, by suggesting, well, they're just harmless and they're mistaken doctrine. Oh, no. He writes here in verse 3, "This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already." Now, by contrast, he writes here in verse 6, "We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us." Now, when John refers here to us, he's referring to the apostles as God's messengers, along with the Old Testament prophets who were God's spokesmen. So this is really another way of John saying, listen to the Old Testament and to the New Testament. Don't let anybody lead you away, frankly, from the Bible. Don't let anybody try to take away from it or add to it. Now, with that, John returns to the theme of love, which he's been talking about for quite some time, hadn't he? This is another way, he says here, that you can discern a true deceiver. Love is that one characteristic that is impossible to fake. Now, it happens to be John's theme throughout the rest of chapter 4. And in these verses, John is going to give us four statements about genuine love. First, here it is, love is who God is. In verses 7 and 8, John writes this, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." In other words, everyone who's been born again by faith in Christ has been given the capacity to reflect the character of God who is love. Now, part of our problem is that we use the word love for a lot of things in life. We say that we love pasta or football. We use the word love in reference to our pet animals and our spouses, hopefully not in that order. Well, the focus of that kind of love is often how the objects of our love make us feel, what they do for us. Well, when the Apostle John talks about love here, he uses the Greek word agape, which never focuses on what we get out of love, but what we give to others through love. In the Bible, the word agape is the word used for loving the unlovely, loving the unlikable. Agape is this self-sacrificing decision, this commitment to another person's highest good. Emotions and affections and compatibilities do not determine agape love. Emotions and affections and compatibilities are built out of agape love. Now, John writes here in verse 8 that God is agape. He doesn't love us, by the way, because we're attractive to him or because, you know, we make him happy. And aren't you glad about that? His love is a decision, a self-sacrificing commitment for our redemption. And that's John's second point. Here it is. Not only is love who the Lord is, but love is why the Lord died. He writes here in verse 9, "In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son to be the propitiation for our sins." In other words, Jesus satisfaction is what propitiation means. He satisfied the demands of divine justice out of agape love for his redeemed. Now, why would God the Son do that for you and me? Well, that's John's third point. Love happens to be what God does. Now, John writes about that here in verse 12 and down through verse 16. "No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. So we've come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him." So here's what John is saying. God has done something for us, and now God wants to do something through us. Since no one has seen God the Father, and since Jesus Christ is no longer visible for the time being, people are not going to be able to see God's love unless you and I demonstrate it in black and white. Now, when John says back here in verse 12 that God's love is perfected in us, he doesn't mean that we become perfect at some point. What he means is that God's love is made complete. That is, it's made real and tangible in and through us when we imitate him, when we practice love for one another and, frankly, for the rest of the world. You can't see God, but you can see the effects of his presence in someone's life, and that effect is called agape love. Finally, one more statement to make. Love is what God demands. John writes here in verses 19 and 20, "We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Well, God has set the pattern for us regarding agape. Now, it's up to us as Christians to duplicate the pattern in loving one another. By the way, this is not a suggestion of something we ought to do if we feel like it. This is a command to obey because God said it. But get this. This is how our world today can discern that we are the genuine item, that we are true Christians. How? Well, you have this characteristic of agape love, which can't be faked. It cannot be found in counterfeit Christians or false teachers. They might appear on the surface as loving, but get to know them, and they only love themselves. Eventually, they'll be revealed to simply be in love with themselves. Well, John recorded Jesus saying it this way in John 13:35, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So, let's go demonstrate to our world agape love today. Until our next wisdom journey, set sail, beloved. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is the Wisdom Journey. Stephen called this lesson Detecting Counterfeit Truth and Genuine Love. God's love is real, and it's reflected through us. Show the world that love today by living in truth and demonstrating the genuine love of Christ. We've got a tool that can transform how you explore the Bible. It's designed to give you instant, biblically sound answers to your Bible-related questions. Just type your question, and you'll get a response straight from Stephen's teachings. Unlike internet searches where you might get unreliable answers, our tool gives you trusted insights in seconds. Whether your question is deep and theological or practical and personal, this tool is available to help you anytime, anywhere. It's easy to use. Just visit wisdomonline.org/ask or click the blue icon on any page. Type your question, and within seconds, you'll have a reliable, biblically sound answer. We believe this tool will help deepen your understanding of the Bible. Try it today and see for yourself how easy it is to use. Join us back here next time.